we fill it?
So you'll spill it.
What will it be tonight?
Red
or white?
As in a blend of burgundy.
Drink wine.
Spill tea.
Hey everyone, I'm Jamie.
And I'm CJ, and this is
Drink Wine, Spill Tea.
The podcast where we talk about anything and everything, but with a sense of humor.
So pour yourself a glass of wine.
Put in your AirPods.
And let's spill some tea. That's how we know that we're at your place, mm-hmm, is when they go...
Yeah, the ones that you were like at your place are like... Boom.
Just a little dainty.
It's like a little plastic clink.
Bing. Yeah, it's so plastic.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, good. How are you?
What's this game down here? I'm good. I'm good. So, I'm hot. It's starting to get to that point where it's like when we record, it's going to be hot in my room.
It's going
to
be miserable. I'll never forget the one time we recorded with Retta, but we were in that extra room that I had, and it was
oh
so
my God,
hot
it was horrible.
In there. We were in there for like 3 hours, and I thought I was going to pass out. I'm so sorry about that, because you get like hot.
I
you
do.
Get like heated.
And I had to like stretch my legs out, and like the underside of my like my leg pits were like dripping in sweat.
I have never
I
in
have
my
never.
Life. But listen, I just want to like jump right into it. We've gathered you here today to discuss Fleabag.
We have.
CJ, you finished the first season, and I would love your overall opinions on just generally. What'd you think?
I think that, again, it's the writing is brilliant. I love her, like, the character of the main character, Fleabag, like, whatever.
Can you, like, remind me what happens in that first season?
I mean...
Just, like, how it sums up.
Yeah, so basically what sums up is that,
spoilers.
Like... Yeah, so it's, like, the whole... You basically just, like, realize how truly, like, fucked up and, like... Like, mentally not okay, and the amount of self-loathing that the main character has, and it's all, like, supported in, like, what word am I thinking of? It's all enhanced by her family. And it's, like, she just truly has such deeply rooted, like, issues from her mom's death and her best friend's death that... are just, like, there and, like, underlying, like, pain, and it's further enhanced by her sister and her dad and her stepmom
and her
brother-in-law.
Husband.
Yeah, and it's just, like, all this, like, chaotic, like, emotions, but the way that it's written and the way that they approach it with, like, this really dark, twisted humor is just so perfect because that's genuinely how everybody's mind works. Like, nobody's mind is a constant comedy, and nobody's mind is, like, a constant drama like Grey's Anatomy. You know what I mean? Like, it's that's not realistic, but what is realistic is the fact that, like, she, like, uses sex to numb her pain, and she drinks to numb her pain, but at the same time she's like laughing about it, because that's like what people do. They're like, oh, I'm a little fucked up, but you know, like,
that is
at
so
least
true.
I had sex, like, at least I got laid last night, right?
It's so true. I had a professor once who said it was like my sophomore year acting class, and I straight up think that teacher did a lot of fucked up things, but no matter which way you spin it, I became a great act, like I became
exactly.
A better actor. I became
an incredible talent.
I became a, like, that's when I really understood acting is from that class. So no matter how you spin it, it's fucked up. But
I have a professor
whatever.
Like that too.
But in that class, he was like, why do actors love being angry and love being dramatic? He was like, no one is ever that angry. If you're ever that, like, he's like, you're saying on this, it's so serious. Laugh.
Yeah.
Like, that's what you do. He's like, but when you're like, somebody is like, giving you, like, comments on how fun you are, I noticed so many people are like, no, anyways. It's, like, they get serious and try to deflect. So it's,
right.
Like, always, the balance, the opposite effect of that. The
it's
antithesis.
True. Or, like, when I'm, like, really mad at somebody, honestly, half the time I'm, like, smiling. Or, like, I'm, like laughing at how fucking angry I am. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And it's, like, I feel like that's, like, such, like, a miss in a lot of ways. But I think this show highlights that really well. And so that's basically what happened. The brother-in-law... tried to kiss her, and the sister believed her at first and then talked to her husband and then was like, I don't believe you. And she, like, pulled this, like, really hard trigger on her sister because the main character, Fleabag, whatever, slept with her dead best friend's boyfriend or husband. And it's, like, this kind of thing that, like, just kind of, they, like, it, like, lingers, and they talk about it, like, briefly. But it's a very, like, serious trauma for her, and her sister knows about it, and she's basically, like, combats her with that, like, well, how would I believe you when you did that to,
yeah,
Blue, to, like, her best friend? And that was, like, the last episode and, like, the very, like, triggering, like, breaking point for her, where it was like, well, fuck, my sister doesn't even, like, believe in me.
Yeah, because she sleeps with her best friend's boyfriend, and when they just, like, get high one night, but then you come to learn that, like, because her boyfriend cheated on her with her best friend,
she committed suicide.
She committed suicide.
But she didn't even know that she...
She just wanted to be, like, she like, did it not with the intention of committing suicide, but she did.
Did she know that it was her best friend that did it, though?
I think she does. I think she did. Okay. And I think that's what you're gonna... Because I think she just did it to be, like, to get the boyfriend back, be like, come to me. Right. With that intention, but it wound up killing her.
Right. Because I remember seeing, like, a thing where it was, like, Boo was telling her he slept with someone else.
Maybe she doesn't know.
And so I was under the impression that she didn't know that it was her.
And then she has to live with that. And that's so worse.
Now, I know. That's what I think happened. And so, like, she has all this trauma that's, like, really fucked up and, like, I mean, and then also she just, like, uses, like, comedy to deflect anyway. Like, that's just, like, who she is, which, like, we both relate to.
Yes.
And...
Ugh.
So there's all that, and, like, that's, like, kind of how it ended, essentially. Like, she's just, like, truly, like, the most alone that I think that she's probably ever felt.
And do you like that? Like in a show, like, in a television show that, like, you're, like, watching for, like, enjoyment, do you like that as, like, an ending for a season?
I do. I hate when the end of a season has a resolution.
Yeah.
I think that that's poor writing. In my opinion, there has to at least be something
that brings
to
let
you know that there's more to come in the next season. Even in a comedy, I just think that there always has to be, like, a thing, because otherwise, why would I want to watch the next season?
You're gonna like Brooklyn Nine-Nine, I think.
I bet. But, like, even, like, you know what I mean? Like, even, like, in Friends, like, there's, at the end of each season, there is something that lets you know, here's what to look forward to in the next season.
Also, should we bring up really quickly, there's going
to
be a reunion?
The reunion. And, like, we're going to have to talk about it.
Like, what is happening there? Like, is it a
Lady Gaga's
going to
be in it.
What the fuck?
No, I think it's just, like, I hope
one episode thing?
I hope that it's an episode or episodic. I don't want it to just be, like, talking. Like, I don't want it to be, like, reminiscing.
No.
You know what I mean? I want it to be scripted about the characters. I don't want it to be about Jennifer Aniston and David Schwimmer.
And if it's, like, this thing where some of them are divorced or they're not together, I hate it. Mm-mm. Like, if they're not all together, like, if fucking, listen to me, if Chandler and Monica aren't together, if Rachel and Ross aren't together
if
and happy,
Phoebe and Mike aren't together,
I will fucking riot.
And I want Joey to be with somebody. I want Joey to be with Lady Gaga.
That would be amazing.
But then also, like, James Corden's supposed to be in it. I saw this thing that was like, stop casting James Corden in everything challenge. I was like, exactly.
Yeah, I'm so over James Corden.
Me too.
But anyways.
But I'm excited about it. We should watch it and then talk about it.
We will. That episode's to come, y'all. Back to Fleabag.
So yeah, I thought that the ending was good. I thought it was really interesting. I felt for her. And then I had to take a couple, like, a week off from watching it because we had to watch season two together.
I really just, those are my Fleabagians.
My Fleabagians.
Out there, you know that the first episode of season two is, like, one of the greatest things to ever grace television. I think it was hard. I really wish, like, I don't know how you are, but, like, for me personally, watching something alone, I absorb more of it. Like, it's hard for me to watch things for the first time in a big group setting because I don't really pay attention.
Right.
So I need to, like, watch things alone. So my favorite thing was, like, watching that, like, alone and being, like, holy hell. Or not, like, alone, but just, like, in a space that's, like, isolated, like, yeah, with, like, my computer or something, you know?
Yeah.
But let's talk about it because we watched the first two episodes of the second season.
So good. Such a great opening to a season. And I think that, like, it was, you see the shift in her, you see how she's a little bit different, but you see how it's, like, suppressed, which I think is very interesting because it's, like, it's been a while. Like, it's been, like, a whole year, right?
Yeah.
Like, 13 months, I think it said. And so I think that that's really interesting. And, like, you kind of see, like, where they are all, like, at in their lives. And, like, her and her sister haven't really talked in, like, that whole year because she still thinks that her sister... She thinks that her sister, Claire, thinks that she tried to sleep with her husband, which is just, like, so fucking disgusting because her husband is an actual gremlin.
Yeah, her husband is a piece of shit.
And it just, like, opens with this whole, like, her, their father and their the mother-in-law, who I thought that they were already married.
No,
but I guess they weren't.
No, so she was their godmother.
Yes,
and then when their mom died, the dad, they started like dating.
Yeah, I just thought that they were married. I knew that that was the relationship. Okay. But I thought that they were already married, so I was kind of confused by that. But so they're engaged. They're gonna get married, and they're at like the dinner with the priest that they hired.
Andrew Scott.
He's so hot.
You've seen that picture of that guy with the two dogs, right? With the, like just a shirt that's been circling around. That's Andrew Scott. You've seen it.
But either way, they're at that dinner, and it's just so funny because it's like, on what on earth is happening? And I just need to say that the mother-in-law is my favorite character because she's a horrible human being, but she is so fucking funny. I will never forget in the first episode, or not the first episode, the first season, when they go over to their house. Oh, yeah. Wow. He's hot. Send me that. And so literally, in, like, the first season, they go over to their dad's house to, like, celebrate the life. Like, I guess it was, like, the anniversary of their mother's death. And so they go over to, like, celebrate it or whatever. And they bring flowers. And the stepmom answers the door. She goes, "Oh, how lovely. Oh, let's just leave these right here." And she puts them on the ground outside the house. She just, like, sends this gorgeous bouquet of flowers. And she's like, come in. And I'm like, you're so... Like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
I, like, at first was shocked that you loved her, but then I'm like, of course, like, you love her. Like, she's the most passive-aggressive, like, kind of rude.
She's so rude. Like, she's that classic grandma that's like, you look like you've gained weight. How are you doing? And you're like, fuck you.
Yeah, you're like...
Like, she's literally like, now how are... Like...
We just watched the part where she's painting Claire and Fleabag, and she makes her turn all the way around. She's like, no.
Yeah. And I laugh. Like, she's like, when she comes in, because so... Part of the episode is that her sister Claire has a miscarriage, which is really sad, and Fleabag is like, I want you to go to the hospital, blah, 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 and then...
Because, again, at the end of the day, the sister's relationship, it doesn't matter how mad you are, you can not speak to each other for a year, but that was an emergency, and at the end of the day, you can lean on each other.
Right.
Again, another example of how this television show is, like, the only depiction of an actual relationship with your sibling, at least sister-sister, that I identify with. Go on.
Speaking of sister-sister... I feel like sister-sister's relationship is pretty good, too. T and Tamara have a
You're right.
But anyway, so it's like, so she's like, you have to go to the hospital, and Claire's like, no. And so then they go back to the table, and she's like, okay, fine, I'll go to the hospital. So they go back to the table, and she's like, nope, we're staying, and like, just like brushes it under the rug as if like nothing happened. And she like pours herself a glass of wine after not drinking for like months and months and stuff. And Fleabag's just like, are you fucking kidding me? And so then everyone's like, well, why are you being so weird? And she's like, I had a miscarriage, like just like trying to like cover it up. And so everyone's like, oh my God, what the fuck happened? And then Claire's like, oh my God, like, well, now it's out, but it's like in your end. And so she's like, this whole like drama thing or whatever. And she's like, well, fuck, I got myself into this situation. But so they go over to their parents' house like the next day or whatever. And stepmom is like, oh, you must feel rotten. Do you feel rotten? Like, just looking at her, like, you must feel horrible.
Olivia
like,
Colman, a national treasure.
She's just brilliant. It's just her. So funny. I just love
it. She's like Britain's sweetheart, too. Like, I know, she's, I love that. And like, because she's done recently a lot of more serious stuff. And then like the talk is like, oh my God, but she's also good at comedy because she just did The Voice in this like thing and she was so funny. And people are like, no, she's a trained comedian.
Yeah.
And that's another example too, which like I'm not going to go on a tangent about this. We can do a whole podcast episode about this. But I do feel like a lot of comedians make the best dramatic actors because they understand timing and they understand like audience and reaction. So, I mean, examples being Olivia Colman, Jim Carrey, and Steve Carell, just to name a few.
I think that actually like Amy Schumer, Megan, or Melissa McCarthy, Maya Rudolph, they're all so, Amy Poehler, Tina Fey, they all understand that. And they may not be like the best actors when it comes to it, but I think that they get the emotion.
I 100% agree. I think some of the best dramatic performances I've ever seen, though, come from comedians.
Yeah, I agree.
Like just out of that. Because also, I don't think many dramatic actors can do comedy.
Funny, yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's just like that whole kind of thing. So I think that she's just absolutely brilliant. But I just love the first episode of season two, because the entire thing just takes place over one dinner, which is like, if you've watched a lot of TV, there's so many, like, you go here and you go here and you go here. And I think this is just an example of, it's like, you don't need to go to all these places. You don't need all of this stuff. It can be interesting and effective and brilliant in just one conversation.
Right, I agree.
And I love that, first of all. Second of all, I love, it's almost like Chekhov, where it's like, if, no, like, I'm not going to assume that everyone, like, studied Chekhov or whatever, and I don't want to sound, like, pretentious or anything like that, but, like, in Chekhov, it's like, you say one thing, but you mean another, so it's, like, all about subtext, which I feel like it, like, exact, like, that was the entire dinner. Right. Everyone was saying something, but underneath it was meaning or, like, seeming something else, you know? And, yeah, I love that.
I also love at the beginning of the episode, it literally starts out with her wiping, like, all this blood off of her face, and you're like, what the fuck happened? And you think it's gonna be, like, this whole thing, but then it's just that at the end of it, the brother-in-law says something, like, really fucked up about her quote-unquote miscarriage, and she punches him in the face. Like,
because she sees that it's making her sister upset.
Yes, because he's saying it to her, but he's actually saying it about Claire without realizing it. And so she punches him in the face, and then he punches her back in the face, like, not really on accident, but kind of on accident. And then it's like a domino effect, because she accidentally then hits the
priest, Andrew Scott.
The priest, and then he hits the waitress.
Yes. But also, it's so funny. It's so brilliant, because you see all the blood right at the beginning, and she's cutting off, and you're like, what the fuck happened? And then she just looks at you and goes, this is a love story. Yeah. And I swear to God, the very first time I ever saw that, I was like, what? I, like, truly, there's nothing as brilliant. Like, what a love story, but it is. It's so good. I, like, want to watch more episodes immediately after this podcast.
We can. And we will.
Like, and, like, I'm not going to, like, spoil anything. I'm not going to say anything. We'll talk about it in a second.
I'm really excited. I think that it's really good. I'm glad that I'm watching it. I'm glad that it's only two seasons, too, because that way I can just, like, commit, finish, and then move on to the next thing.
Correct.
Because there's so many shows that I want to watch and that I need to watch. Also, I've decided that... Wait, have you watched Ugly Betty?
No. Don't make me watch Ugly Betty.
Why?
Because
I have to... If you're... Wait, if we're making each other watch TV shows, why can't my next one be Ugly Betty?
It can...
Okay, you can choose between Ugly Betty or One Tree Hill.
Okay, but you have to watch an entire other... I don't know. I think you owe me, like, three or four. Because Drag Race and Gossip Girl combined, that's, like, 30 seasons.
Oh, I'll give you Drag Race, not Gossip Girl.
Combined?
I don't know.
Yeah. There's. Yeah,
you might be right, because you also watch, like, UK 14, and Canada.
Yeah, there's 14 seasons of... American, and then I watched two seasons of UK, one season of Canada, and then seven seasons of Gossip Girl.
Also All-Stars.
And All-Stars.
And also six seasons of Gossip Girl. And also 13 seasons of American Drag Race. So.
You do the math.
Well, I will, because you clearly didn't do it right.
I know that Crystalia is, like, kind of, like, controversial right now, but there's that Crystalia sketch where he's like, drunk girls don't give a shit. He was like... You should watch that sketch. It's so funny. But he's like, I was, like, with this girl one time, and every single time she had too much to drink, she's like, you do the math. I don't know. The elements over there, you do the math. And it's so funny. He's like, what? He's like, girls at a party can literally throw up and be like, yeah, where are you going? And then be like, totally fine. But dudes at a party be like, oh, I need to sit down. And then at the drive-thru, there's always that drunk person who thinks that they can order better than you. Who's like, no, give me the seven. Never, dude, just get her the seven. No, the seven. I need that Taco Bell. It's so funny. Then he's like, then there's this one girl who literally, like, defies space and gravity. Who, like, time travels and is like, where am I? It's literally so so funny.
I just watched the whole sketch.
I know. I just did it for you.
I was laughing so hard last night. Matt and I were walking to dinner, and there was this, like, pizza place down in the village, and there were these four girls sitting at a table outside of it, and one girl, no one's gonna be able to see this, but it was, like, 8 p.m., and this one girl had a piece of pizza in her mouth, and her head was literally leaning against the door like this, and she was like, and they were like, sit up! Fucking sit up! No, sit up! Get her! And I was like, bitch is done.
Get her!
But I was also, I'm laughing because I feel like guys that are really fucked up at a party too are like I imagine like a frat guy like slowly like walking against like the wall, like his shoulders like dragging against the wall, walks up to a group of people talking, stands there. Everyone recognizes he's there, turns him, and he's like, what the fuck are we talking? Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's like the kind of thing that I see drunk guys doing.
Clean. We have to watch this sketch. Okay. You will think it's so funny. And I know Crystalia. Like, do you know the drama that happened with Crystalia?
You told me before that.
Yeah, I can't explain it. I'm not going to go into it right now. Just know that I watched his apology video, and I don't know where I stand with Crystalia right now. I'm torn. I don't want to talk about it. I'm torn.
No, we have a few other topics to cover.
No.
Let's wrap up Fleabag.
Yes.
But I do think that we need to make a list of shows that we each have to watch next.
And in order?
We can just make it like a running thing.
Okay, yes.
Because also, we can watch them at the same time.
You're right.
And then talk about them because that's A, more content.
Yes.
And B, gives us something to do.
Yes. All right.
So my next one for me, or your next one for me, is either, which one was it? It's Brooklyn Nine-Nine or...
No. Because I want us to watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine together. Oh, right. Just because I know that it's not like your show. We'll yeah, I know it's not your kind of show.
Broad City.
Your next one for me is Broad City and then Barry.
Okay.
Because Barry also only has two or three seasons out, just like this, and it is so good.
You never watched Scandal, did you?
I've watched the first, I think, two seasons.
And not How to Get Away with Murder?
I think I watched the first, four or five seasons.
Okay.
Because you suggested it. But right. I never, finished it or anything. I can go back and finish it. I can do... Here's... Wait.
I'm going to make a list of them, and then you can choose which one. Let's do that. You make a list for me, I make a list for you, and then we're allowed to choose which one we watch next.
Deal. We just shook on it, y'all.
But it has to be from that list.
Correct.
And I'll make a list of them, but you have to eventually get through every single one, just like me.
Yes.
But we get to choose the order. We just have to let the other yes. person know what's next.
I don't know if I want to put Brooklyn Nine-Nine on that list. Just, again, I know I'm saying this, but I know it's not your kind of show, but I really just think our dynamic is Gina Linetti and Charles
You tell me that
Boyle.
Every time, but I just don't know who you're talking about.
It is, because Charles Boyle makes bread, and there's this thing where she gets it, and she's like, ugh, what is this, Charles? And he's like, this is a mother dough. And she's like, ugh, it's so fucking funny.
I wish I could laugh at it. Okay, anyway, so to wrap up Fleabag, I'm very excited. I think that's very good. I definitely recommend it. I think the writing is brilliant. I think that it tugs at your little heartstrings.
And
I'm excited for her to fuck the priest.
You don't know if that happens, though.
I think I know that happens.
Listen, I can't wait for us to get more into that whole relationship, because quite truly, I think it's one of the greatest. And we'll go into... Thank you so much. And we'll get into why I think it might be the greatest relationship on television I've ever seen in my entire life.
Okay.
And why I think it's so just profound and everything about it. But we'll get into that
okay.
later. But I need you to know that I've audibly gasped
okay.
at some things. And I know that you're gonna be like, no. But anyways.
Here's a fun fact about me. I lately have been trying to think about what I want to do with my life, but also I randomly came up with so at first, do you remember on my Instagram story a little bit ago where I asked, I was like, should I get my bartender's license? Yes or no? And a lot of people were like, yes, absolutely. And a lot of people were like, it's not worth
it. I'm telling you, don't do that, because you don't need a bartender's license to be a bartender. I was a bartender for 2 years and I've never been to school.
Okay, literally, let me finish.
All right.
So I asked that. And everyone said that, and I was like, you're right, I'm not doing that.
Oh, okay.
So, calm down.
That is a trigger for me.
Calm down.
Really?
Have you seen that video? Calm down. No. My kids can't hear me. They're listening to Kids Bop.
Oh, yes.
This little bitch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Calm down.
Yeah.
Calm down. I love her. But anyway, so then I realized one day, I was like, wait, I want to be a sommelier. Because I think that that A is the most me thing that's ever existed. Like, how dare I be an expert on wine? How dare I? That would be crazy. And also, like, but then I got deferred from my dream because people were like, well, so my, I told my store manager and she was like, I think that that's actually the most brilliant thing that I've ever heard you say. Like, you would be so good at that and what a cool skill to have. She was like, you should definitely do that. And I was like, okay, thank you. And then I talked to, like, four different other people and they were like, that's amazing. You know that you have to, like, it's like a decade's worth of training, right? And so now I'm just like confused and conflicted because I'm like, what does it take that long? But you said that there might be, you talk.
Listen to me. I think if you can make wine a career, which you can, I think it's the perfect job for you. I think it encompasses so much of what you love in life, which is knowing things, wine,
making
people drunk, being correct, like
traveling and feeling rich even though I'm not.
Yes. Well, and this is another thing. Sommeliers make bank. I can't even tell you.
I feel like only if you're like a top tier one. You know what I mean? Like, what does it mean to be like a part-time
sommelier? I went to college with a girl and she became a sommelier. Wow. And not in a year, like way less than a decade, let me tell you. And was making so much fucking money that she now lives in a studio in a nice part of Manhattan and literally just drinks wine all the time. Like she that's literally, amazing. Like, she's so happy. And, like, that's what she does. So I know for a fact that you don't need a decade's worth of degrees because she did it and she makes, I can't even tell you, she is so well off now.
What do I do with that, though? Like, you know what I mean? Like, what would be my job?
I mean, so I used to work at a John George, very fine dining restaurant, and we did have a sommelier for a bit, and she would go up to tables and be like, are we interested in wine this evening? And if they said yes, she would ask what they ordered, and then be like, great, this is a great pairing, because this wine, if you ordered fish, this white wine in this brings out the lemon in your fish, and would, like, talk about, like, the vintage, the ages, like, the lakes, right. Like, all of that kind of stuff, and suggest wine pairings for the table, provide samples, and then they would do that, and it's like, people would order bottles,
yes.
And bottles of these wines, and you make a portion of, like, the tips or what, like, I don't, that was just at one place.
Right, but there's so many, that's only one job, too. It could be so many.
Correct, and I know that she works at, like, a wine bar specifically.
Yeah.
And so it's, like, what you do is you, like, listen to a person's, like, palate, the dish they ordered, or, like, what's good right now if they just want suggestions, and you suggest wine for these people and talk about wine. And you make so much, like, CJ, it's so much money.
I know. And, like, honestly, I think, like, my dream in life would literally be, well, first of all, I think that'd be so cool because I could literally live anywhere with that. And I could,
You could do traveling as, like, a write-off on your taxes.
I know. And I would literally, like, my dream in life is, like, go to Italy and know so much about wine and literally sit down and feel like the biggest pretentious asshole because I'm like, no, I know what this is.
It's in your future.
It's absolutely. That's what, I think that it's such a cool thing. I think I'm going
to
do it.
But you would be able to,
I'm
like,
gonna research it.
You'd be able to sip on this wine and be like, yes, it's from this, like,
I would feel like such a douche and I would love it. I would love to, like, be able to, like, talk to my family members about it and, like, go home for Christmas and, like, just be like, oh my God, I'm like, wow.
But for real, though, I think this is a perfect.
And we could talk about that shit on the podcast, too.
Yes, because I would want you to teach me everything that you know.
I could literally give you hints about it, and I could be like, taste that. What do you taste?
Yes.
I'd be like, you don't taste that. You taste this.
Yes. Well, that's so exciting. I had, like, a wine course when I worked at the bar. We had to go through, like, wine training.
You did the cheese one, too, and you didn't want to do it.
Correct. And this was before I liked wine, and I didn't want to do it. And so he was like, taste it. What do you taste? There are no wrong answers. And I was like, but there are wrong answers because if I taste strawberries and it's made with cherries, that's wrong. And he was like, but it's about your own personal palate. And I was like, what? Did you just blow my mind? But I'm like, at the same time, like, it's so interesting too. But, like, yeah, you can come back and I would want to know everything. I can't wait for the staff. I'll help you.
Thank you.
Like, I will, like, sit down if you're like, I'm having a hard time motivating. We meet up, we do this together.
I just feel like, I mean, like, I want to just, like, see, like, where I can take the classes and, like, how and, like,
whatever. But you can do it online.
Well, I'm sure, but I also, like, I'm sure part of it is, like, in person, like, tasting and stuff.
Yeah. Oh, you've never watched Parks and Rec. There's a Parks and Rec episode where they go to the sommelier thing and restaurant. Oh, that's another thing. like restaurants, like pretentious ones, go to these like tastings, and like so you can see who gets certified and who gets like in like what tier, and restaurants go up to these sommeliers and like, hey, would you like to work at my restaurant? So you'll have offers. You know what I mean? So like,
I think it'd be so cool. I could live in Italy. And I could live in Spain. I could live in Napa
so
Valley.
So nice. And like,
yes, but I'd be such like a cute, trendy sommelier.
You would.
Like, I wouldn't be in like a suit. I would come in and be like,
and even if it was like a super classy place, you wouldn't be in a suit. You'd be in like a really cool, like button up,
like a lace,
and yes, like, yeah, and like a lace tie. Oh my god, I'm dying.
Yeah,
one that Carly made for you. It's an original. Carly, no one else has it.
I would hire Carly and you as my stylists because I would be famous.
Bitch, I'll make you a crochet tie, a crochet little bow,
a crochet outfit, a crochet suit.
Done. I do actually. No joke though. I do have this sweater pattern that I'm trying to like make, and I'm gonna need someone to like just take it as like a tester.
I got
you. So if you want it, yeah, it's gonna be like crushed velvet.
Also, oh my god, everybody go to Car Jam Central's booth at the Brooklyn Market May 22nd.
Yes.
Wow, I'm amazing.
Literally a week from yesterday.
That's exciting.
But
I can't wait.
Actually, speaking of which, I did an audiobook and it's out if you want it.
And?
If you want me to bake, like, if you've ever been like, God, I wish you would teach me how to bake bread.
I
have the book for you. It's called Heritage Baking, something, 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 and Heritage and Artisanal Flour. And I'm the voice of it.
That's
and
the
it's
exact
out now.
Title.
Get it on Audible, get it on Kindle, get it on Amazon. I am the voice.
I'm obsessed with that.
I'm not talking about my new book yet because
we don't know.
I do know. I've already signed the contract.
I know, but we don't know. We don't know.
I have to be sexy, you guys. No. Take that out. Take that out. We don't know. We don't know.
I feel like it'll kind of be easier, too, now that, like, things are starting to open back up. Like, I feel like it's gonna, like, I'll be able to, like, do, like, online classes, but then I'll also be able to do some stuff, like, in person, which will be nice.
Yes, I think so, too. Speaking of things opening back up.
Crazy.
Insane.
So here's where I was when, here's the funny thing about this like whole entire like year situation, year and a half.
Tell me.
It's like, it's kind of like 9/11 in the case where it's like, we all know where we were and what was happening when we found out that these things were happening. Like, they've all been like weird milestones. You know what I mean? And for this specifically, I will never forget that I was at work and my ASM, my assistant store manager, got a notification from like Apple News on his watch, and he literally looked at his watch mid-sentence and said, well, we don't have to wear masks indoors anymore. And I went, what? And he was like, yeah, that's what the CDC just said. Like, you don't have to wear them inside anymore. And I was like, shut the fuck up. I was like, that's not true. It was crazy.
A lot of people, so I was listening to it because I've said this before and I'll say it again. Every morning I listen to Up First, the NPR podcast. It's really great. And they were like, big news. This is happening. But it's causing a lot of uncertainty, especially with like business owners and just people in general, because it's opening up a door for people who are not vaxxed to be like, right, I've been vaxxed, and just to lie.
Right.
Just to lie, like, in general. So that's opening it. And you still have to wear masks on planes and in public transit, like
I'll
the subway.
I'll do that anyway.
But I still wear my mask because, number one, I don't want to look like a Republican.
Right.
And number two, because I don't know y'all. Like, I don't know you yet. Like, this is still a thing. And just because we're tired of it doesn't mean that it's over. That's, like, the most American thing that's, like, ever happened ever. So, yeah. But it's also, like, causing a problem because, like, business stores, they can still be, like, you still have to wear a mask.
Right.
Because that's what I'm doing for my business. And it opens a lot of opportunities for people to get mad and angry and, like, yell at business owners just because, like, I know that, like, we have a natural market, like, in our neighborhood. It's called the Sunnyside Natural Market. The woman who owns it and works there, her name is Perry. She's our Sunnyside mom. I love her so much. We go in there all the time. She's always like, how are you? She always gives us free stuff because she thinks we need it, and I love her. But she's like, I've had to argue with so many people who refuse to wear masks in my store. But I'm like, but it's my store, and this is what I'm saying, because it's so small. Like, we have to, you know, whatever. And he's like, well, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, then you don't have to shop here.
Right.
Like, you know, it's just causing a hard time, and a lot of like sources are saying that it's like premature. Thoughts?
So here's what I think about it.
Yeah.
I think that it could be premature. I think that it's crazy that I'm shocked that it's already happening. Like, I was not expecting it to already happen. my thoughts about it is that I'm going to keep wearing my mask for a while. Like, I don't feel the need. Like, put it this way. Right now, it's like, if I'm indoors with my friends, I'm not wearing my mask. If I am going into a restaurant to sit down, once I'm at the table, I'm not wearing my mask. So, like, the difference in wearing it from the door to the table or the train to the apartment is, like, not a major hindrance to me. And if I'm walking and no one is around me, I'll pull it down to my neck. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I know that I am fully vaccinated, and I know that what I can do to make myself and other people feel comfortable and protected. So for me, it's not like a huge hindrance to wear it. And, you know, like, and I still get uneasy, like, as I've been, like, walking, like, today or yesterday, like, around, like, the West Village, I've seen so many people around me and some of them not wearing masks. Like, I'm fully, like, you don't even have it with you. That's insane. Like, it's not even around your wrist. It's not around your neck. Like, that to me is alarming. I'm like, whoa, you don't even have it with you. But what I do think is becoming unfair and what I think is becoming a little out of hand is, like, yes, of course, I don't want to not wear my mask because I don't want people to think that I'm a Republican. Like, I don't want to walk around and have that. But it's unfair that that's what it's about.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because when you really get down to it, the majority of the people aren't actually vocalizing that they care about other people's health and their own. They're vocalizing that they don't want to look like a Republican.
Yeah.
And to me, that's like, I'm like, so you don't actually care about what the purpose of the mask is. Not you. I'm not saying you, but I'm saying that is what it's become, that people are like, well, I'm going to keep doing it because I don't want people to think I'm a Republican. I'm like, well, me neither. But why do we feel that way?
Yeah, because I said it as a joke because I've been seeing a lot
of
that.
But it's true. Everybody's been saying it. I've been saying it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I hope that it's a joke. What I think that it might just be like a game plan, a play, a ploy, if you will, just to be like, that's how confident we are in our vaccines. You know, that's how much they work. So it's like an incentive to, like, get your vaccine, because now they're offering Pfizer to children. And yeah. I just listened to a study that they did, and the Pfizer vaccine, because, I mean, you watch Grey's Anatomy, so you know this, and I know this because I watch Grey's Anatomy, and they also explained it in, like, the thing that I was, like, listening to and read. But for those of you who don't watch Grey's Anatomy or read the news, like,
the only
how
two.
You do, like, how you do, like, a trial is, like, some people get the actual vaccine, and then the other people get a placebo,
yeah.
And just so you see if it works, so it's not, like, mental or whatever like that. And the children who got the Pfizer vaccine, it was 100% effective, wow, against the coronavirus, whereas the people who got the placebo got it,
yeah,
like corona. Like the children, I think it was, like, 16 out of the 30. That's a wrong number. But 16 children out of the whatever number got corona from the placebo. But 100% of the children who received the actual Pfizer vaccine did not receive corona. So it was 100% effective. So it's like... And I got Pfizer, just so everyone knows, so I'm doing well. Thank mm-hmm. you. But, so I don't know if this is just some, like, crazy, incentive for people to get the shot, but people who are non-vaxxers are not going to get vaxxed.
No, but also, so what else I was going to say, look, two things. One is that I hope that there is some kind of proof that we have to say, you know what I mean, like, when confronted or when, like, you know what I
but
mean.
But how are you gonna prove that without having your thing, like, wearing your card around
your neck?
There's a
thing that you can get on your phone.
Yeah, that's cool.
Matt has it, because, and I tried to, yeah, it's literally, like, in your Apple Wallet.
I need to fucking find my card.
Well, okay, that's step one.
You've seen my room. It's a disaster right now.
I mean, but the thing is that, like, if we have to start proving that, then, like, fuck, then we have to start proving that. But my thing is that, like, there has to be something, because, so then here's what I'm going to say, is that I wish that we were all just able to recognize that we are all in the same mindset of, for the most part, obviously not, like, crazy, like, right-wing,
yeah,
people,
yeah,
but, like, the majority of the people in the world right now are afraid and anxious, but excited that masks are going away. Like, at the end of the day, we're all like, I don't want to do it anymore, but I'm nervous. But
yes,
none of us are willing to say that because everyone is afraid that other people are going to be like, why are you too excited that masks are going away? Or they're like, well, why are you afraid that masks are going away? Because, like, but, like, that to me is so, like, annoying, because everyone is anxious about it. But if we're all willing to be like, I don't know if this is the right time, I'm going to wear my mask until I feel comfortable not to, but I'm not going to automatically assume that the person not wearing a mask is a Trump supporter, and I'm also not going to shame somebody for still wearing a mask. I think that, like, we're going to all get through it in a better, more healthy way. But, like, people being like, this is only for anti-vaxxers. I'm like, well, that's just dramatic. That's yeah. not the entire, like, the CDC has said for the longest time what has been, like, what we should be doing. Mm-hmm. And we were like, hell yeah, we should do that. But now all of a sudden we're like, no, you're wrong. And I get that it's like a lot of people have said, because I've been asking a lot of opinions about it, because I'm very curious as to what people's thoughts are. And people are like, well, we have to remember that the CDC is a government entity. Of course it is. Yes, absolutely. Which automatically makes it feel a little bit like, sure, and the government will do anything to protect mm-hmm. themselves at the end of the day. That mm-hmm. is 100% true. But why did we not care that it was a government entity at the beginning of the pandemic when they were saying, wear your mask, social distance?
No, I completely agree. I completely agree that, you know, we're all excited but anxious, and it's hard. Yeah. It is really, it's not, there's no black and white thing. This is gray all over, mm-hmm. you know? And, yeah, because I feel that. I'm excited that, like,
things are
that we're coming back to life, but it's like, also, it's, like, hard because it's, like, I don't know how I feel. I don't know if I trust my neighbor. Like, sure, it's, like, that, either. Like, kind of thing like that, which I think is right. I don't know. Because, I mean, again, if you look at the studies, and I only know about the Pfizer vaccine, so I'm only going to speak to that. But, like, that is 100%, in the study, it was 100% effective.
Yeah.
So, it's, like, if you, like, I have that. Why do I still feel nervous even after I've seen the study, it's effective, and all of this stuff? I don't know.
Because it's been a whole year of uncertainty.
I will say, over this past, like, coronavirus, like, period, just, like, this whole, like, at-home thing, I have never in my entire, like, life, childhood, adult, etc., have ever been so anxious and depressed in my entire life. And I feel like that might have something to do with our unease. We're all anxious, and I think we're all a little bit depressed just because of, like, if you're not, like, depressed career-wise, then just about what's happening in the entire world. Yeah. Like look what's happening. Yes, like,
yeah.
Like, look what's happening right now. Like, that's sad and yeah. upsetting. And so I don't know if it's just, like, an anxious thing that I'm going to need to, like, breathe through, or if it's, like, an anxious thing that I'm going to need to, like, work out in therapy, or if it's, like, an anxious thing that's just going to go away with time.
Right.
But I do feel like it is this thing that has, like, with the science and what people are saying, there's no reason to be anxious if you have, and I'm going to speak to Pfizer again. I have Pfizer. I've read and I've, like, listened to a podcast on the study of it, and I should feel confident and good and okay, and yet I'm still a little nervous.
Right. Well, and I think that's normal, and I think, again, like, what I'm saying is that, like, I think that if everyone were just able to admit that, then it would be a lot easier to transition at your own pace.
Yeah.
I think that the hard part yeah. is the shaming. That's where it's, like, when is that going to end? Like, when are we just going to, like, stop making it about something that it doesn't have to be? And it's just, like, that's what's, like, what's making me sad, because, like, my question then would be, okay, so when are we going to believe that it's, when are we going to be able to say, okay, you're right? What is it going to take? Because I don't know the answer to that. Like, because, again, I feel uneasy. I feel anxious about it. I'm still going to keep wearing my mask until I feel comfortable with it. But what can I hear to know that every single person is going to read it on our Instagram or whatever and say, oh, you know what? Now's the time. We're good. I don't know but, like, what is that? Because, like, I thought it would be this, but it's not.
It's not.
None of us feel that way. So what statistic are we going to see to think? Because I feel like this is just going to keep going and going and going and going, where people are going to just be like,
My hypothesis is that it's going to continue like this until it doesn't. Like, if that makes sense. Like, it's going to, like, when cases are that of, like, way less than the flu, when people aren't dying from it in astronomical amounts, Like, that's when I feel like people are going to be like, okay, like, when this is just another flu. When it's like, oh, I have the flu. Oh, I have corona. I have to stay home. Yeah. When it's like, this is just another flu. But, and I know I, like, bash social media a lot. And while I think social media is good for some things.
With this, it's horrible.
It's ultimately horrific. I just listened to a podcast with Mila Kunis, actually.
Oh, love her.
Love Mila Kunis. I did not recently realize that I loved her until I listened to this podcast. And I was like, I think I love you. She's like she's a legit refugee.
Yeah.
Her family came over from the Ukraine because it wasn't safe for Jewish families to be there. So she is a refugee. And I love her because she speaks to that. And she also talked about how she's so grateful because she was on That 70s Show when she was 14.
Crazy.
She lied on her thing. Yeah. And then when she went to the thing, she was like, oh, by the way, I am going to need to. They're like, excuse me, what? She's like, oh, yeah, I'm 14. I didn't mention that. But she talks about how she's so grateful that she did not come of age in a time of social media, because she sees it now and she's like, I would have tried to kill myself.
Yeah.
Like, it is so toxic. It really truly is. I don't know. And especially with, I don't know how it, I don't know.
I don't either. And I guess, like, and again, like, to reiterate, like, I don't necessarily feel like it's the right time. I feel nervous about it, and I again will continue. The day that they say that we don't have to wear masks at work, I don't know what I'm gonna do, because I don't know if I'm gonna be able to confidently say, like, yeah, I'm not going to. But it, I don't know. But, like, I think that the thing is just, like, again, it's like, and I see this all over, it's just like, I just wish people were able to have more patience. I wish people were able to have more, like, sincerity and, like, grace for people, because we've made masks such a political thing, which at the end of the day, it kind of can't, like, it kind of is, but we've made it so much of that, that it's like, that's sad.
Also, like, not to be like that bitch, but I also shelled out a lot of money on cute masks to, like, match my outfits, and I can't just, like, give that up so easily.
I know. Where I work, we have so many masks in, like, all these different colors, and I'm like, are we just gonna, like, give these away? Like, what are we gonna do? I mean, I'm sure we'll just sell them for, like, a while.
I can't wait until masks are vintage.
I know.
Or until, like, young people are like, these are my masks from the coronavirus. Can't sell them. $1 million. Give me a half. Like, it's like that kind of thing. But
no, literally. That's also disgusting, selling a mask.
I would have washed it. Maybe. But I do agree. I think patience is the thing. And also, if someone is choosing to continue to wear a mask, to not make it a big thing. Like, let them be comfortable. Because I remember when Trump was elected, I was a hostess at a restaurant on the Upper West Side. And, like, wearing these pins was a thing where it was, like, if you were not a Trump supporter, but it's, like, you support women, it's, like, you support gay rights, like, all this, you just wore this little pin. Mm-hmm. And it was, like, you show a sign of, like, solidarity with those people. And, like, one of the consumers, like, the day after Trump was elected, it was, like, a really, really, like, hard day, especially at my restaurant. Like, I remember, I mean, when that first Women's March happened, I had to work and I was, like, sad about it. And I said that to my boss. And my boss was like, hey, I'm, like, I don't need you. I'm going to take over. And I was like, wait, what? Really? I'm going to go march. And he was like, well, why do you think I'm letting you go? And I was like, thank you. Like, he was like, go. He was like, march for me. And I was like, thank you. And I went and I marched with, like, my friends, and I still have the signs. It was, like, a really big thing. But I remember somebody, my friend Doyle, she was wearing, like, she's, first of all, I love this hoe. She got me the job there. She was a dance major at my college, and everyone was so intimidated by her because she was so fucking good. And she took a musical theater class with us, and everyone in my class, like, was like, I'm not gonna go talk to her, blah, blah, blah. I was like, fuck you all.
Have I met her?
And I went, probably. She's friends with Lanati. With Lanati.
Because I feel like this name sounds very...
Like, Alex
this
Doyle?
Story.
Yeah, you probably have. She and I literally went and sat down next to her and I was like, hi, I'm Jamie.
Yes, this story.
And she
I
was like,
it.
Hey, I'm Doyle. And later she was like, I can't thank you enough. I was so nervous, and you were my first friend. And I was like, bitch. And she, and I remember the day I moved to New York, I texted her, help. And she said, you have an interview tomorrow at my job, come in. And I was like, thank you. She got me that job. So it's like, I will forever be indebted to this hoe. And I love her.
So.
I love her. Anyways, I just had to share my love for this bitch and commodity. But she was wearing one of those pins, and somebody came up to my boss who was like next to me, and they were like, why is she wearing that pin? You know it's going to be fine, right? Blah, blah, blah. And my manager, who was a woman, was like, we let our staff wear whatever they feel right, right. And she feels blah, blah, blah. And like, it was this whole huge argument. And while my boss at the time like wasn't really arguing, but this guy was so like adamant about this. Like, I hope, long story short, I hope it's not anything like that, because it's not just political. It's health. It's safety. It's like so many other things.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. But I also don't think that if somebody chooses, like, if somebody is doing it for the right, like if somebody that is fully vaccinated, like, is choosing to not wear a mask in certain situations, like, I also think that we shouldn't just automatically assume that they're lying, you know what I mean? Or that they, not that you're saying, but I think that that's how a lot of people are thinking right now. And it's like, well, that's also not fair, because what if, I don't know.
I think there's a difference between assuming and skepticism. Sure. Where it's like, I can be skeptical of someone, be like, oh, God, I'm skeptic. But it's like, when you assume, that's a whole nother thing.
Right.
And I think skepticism, it's not great, but
it's normal.
It's normal and it's healthy. And I think that's better than assuming.
Right.
Like, and I think I definitely need to work on that.
I do,
like, too. Because I saw somebody today when I was walking to your apartment, and I know exactly how this is going to sound, and maybe we cut this out. But I was like, oh, if I was going to point somebody out who was a Trump supporter on the street, he looks like somebody who I would be like, that's a Trump supporter. I don't see a mask anywhere on him. Yeah. I guarantee you he's not vaxxed. But in that moment, I, like, thought all of those things for, like, a minute, and then I was like, just... you are vaxxed as well.
Yeah.
You are wearing a mask. Take a deep breath. You're not going to catch COVID, even right. if he isn't vaxxed.
Right.
So. Right.
That's how I feel too.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, I'm gonna keep doing it, like, for all the situations that I can.
Yeah.
But I just feel sad that it's come to that point, like, where it's like, when is it just gonna, like, feel better?
I know. I mean,
I'm just sick of seeing people on, like, social media be so, like, mean and outwardly, like, I've literally seen things that are like, if you're not wearing a mask, you're a fucking idiot still. And I'm like, well, that's not true. Like, what? And then I also see, like, the opposite. That's like, finally, oh my God, this day has come. Like, I can't wait to not wear my mask tomorrow. I'm like, but also, like, take a deep breath, because, like, it's not that, like chill for a hot sec.
It's like, also easy to be extreme on social media, yeah. because you don't actually have to say it to anyone or right. have your face there. Like, being extreme on social media is the reason why it's dangerous.
It's so toxic.
Like that's what I'm saying. Like, hate trolls, haters, whatever. Like, it's, again, it's easy. Like, I mean... I'm not going to bring that up. I'm going to be so annoying if I bring up, like, another podcast. But, like, I can't, it's easy to hide behind social media.
Oh, my God.
So, I think even so if somebody's like, thank God, like, I don't have to wear a mask, I'm not going to believe them 100%. Like,
no.
Like, or if somebody's like, if you're not wearing a mask, you're a fucking idiot. I'm not
gonna, I know, for 100%. A fact that there are times where,
because when a mask. I saw a drag show, my very first drag show.
Yes, oh my God.
On so Friday for a friend's birthday, I saw Jan's drag show. So I didn't know that you were supposed to take out cash.
Yeah.
And so Retta was like, I knew you wouldn't know. And so I had a $10 bill. She was like, I know you have a $10 bill. I took out cash for you. And I was like, thank you. Aww. And I, like, split it with my sister. And so I was like, wow! I saw this girl... Petty Cash.
Yeah.
She's the most amazing drag queen I've ever seen in my life. I love her. But I was like, woo! And then I ran out of money and I was like, I'm so sad. And then she'd give me $2. I'm like, yay! And she kept just giving me money all night so I can give, like, but I didn't wear a mask and everyone was, like, sitting down. Well, also because we were under Jan's reservation, so we had, like, really good seats. Yeah. And so we, like, actually got to sit in, like, these, like, really cool seats. But
industry? Oh, no, you're not right.
Trying to brag. Yeah. not trying to brag, but like, so everyone was sitting down, but like the people sitting down weren't wearing masks because everyone was like drinking, but the drag queens were wearing their masks.
Well, and like that's what I'm saying too, because it's like, if I'm going to a restaurant or something, like, which I do, sorry, like I'll go out to eat, like, but the difference between me walking from the door to the table wearing a mask is not making or breaking my day. I can put a mask on for that. It's fine. But when I'm sitting down, I'm wearing it. So it's like, or I'm not wearing it. So it's like, I just wish that everybody would like adapt that state of mind, because I don't know. There's one specific person that I'm thinking of on social media that is just very like, everything is intense and it's their opinion is the only one, but then, and they're such like strong gatekeepers of literally everything, but then they can, and I use the phrase gatekeeper because that's a phrase that they use consistently about other things, and they're upset when other people gatekeep specific things, and I'm like, do you know what, your middle name is gatekeep, like you are literally the most gatekeeper I've ever seen, and it's all very like, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do this, but then they do the things that they're saying not to do.
And that's what I'm saying.
And I'm like, you look so stupid. But if we would just like not act that way, then it wouldn't be an issue.
That's what I'm saying. It's easy to hide behind social media. And you can't preach to other people. Like, you can't hold these expectations for other people if you're not going to hold them for yourself. So...
And also just like, do what makes you, at the end of the day, my mom and we talked about this on an episode recently when you asked like the best advice, like my mom always says, you cannot force somebody to do something that they don't want you to do. And at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what I say, I cannot force somebody to think or feel the way I feel. So if I want to wear a mask, I'm going to wear a mask. But the person next to me may not be doing it. And I can assume that they're a Trump supporter all I want. But they also, like, at the end of the day, they could be, like, donating $5 million to Black Lives Matter organizations and voting for Biden. But, like, it doesn't, like, I don't know that. Because I'm not going to be like, I noticed you're not wearing a mask. Can you show me your voting history, please? Like, you know, and it's just, like, it's too silly and an anxiety-inducing for me to, like, lay awake at night thinking what other people are doing and thinking and feeling and if they're vaccinated or not. So I can just control what I do.
I mean, yeah, I think, you know, that's good advice, yeah. Honestly, my mom all the time goes, honestly, and I'm being honest here.
Oh my God, love Vicky.
Love Vicky. But honestly, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, but crazy though, and I think this is wild. Trader Joe's just announced that their employees and customers don't have to wear masks.
I know.
That's crazy.
I know.
That's wild.
Yeah, I know. But I still need my talkies.
I know. But the employees, that's what boggled my mind. I understand. I mean, I don't understand, but, like for me at work, like, we just got, like, a message saying, like, until further notice, employees are still required to wear masks and follow social distance, like, blah, 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 blah. If somebody comes in and is not wearing a mask, we can offer them one and say, hey, we have masks available just in case you want one. If they do not want one, we are not able to refuse service, and we're not able to ask them if they're vaccinated. But employees are required to wear masks.
Yeah.
And for me, I'm like, okay. Like, I mean, it sucks that somebody can come in that potentially may not be vaccinated without a mask, but again, I can't ask them. But with Trader Joe's, I'm like, damn, so your employees don't even? That's crazy.
And to, like, not to, like, do a callback or anything, but I really think that that's why you should be a sommelier.
What?
Because you could, like, be dealing with someone. I mean, I guess you have to deal with people who aren't wearing masks at tables anyway. But then you would at least know, you know, like you're going in there. Yeah, and you'd already be drunk. Like, I think you'd be a good sommelier.
And with that,
I really want this for you.
I really do, too. We need to do some research.
Okay, we'll do it right
Thank
now.
Thank you for bearing with us with our conversation.
Yeah.
To reiterate, I support masks. I'm thinking about a lot of different sides of it, and I'm very interested in other people's opinions.
Yes.
I hope nobody thinks that I sound like a Trump supporter, because I'm not.
And you do not. And everyone should know that. And with that, if you want to email us, you can email us at drinkwinespilltea@gmail.com, or you can follow us on any of our social medias.
Our Instagram is @drinkwine_spilltea, and our Twitter is @drinkwinespilltea with the letter T, not the word.
Drop us a rating. Drop us a review.
Subscribe. Watch Fleabag.
Oh, watch Fleabag. It's so good. You guys, I have the best shows to recommend.
Period.
Period.
And with that, adios.
Cheers.
Ooh.